It is rare for all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to agree. Not unheard of, but there's a lot of things that are in one Gospel, two Gospels, even three Gospels, but not in all four. In fact, one of the ways some scholars try to discern the truthfulness of what's in the Gospels is if all four Gospels agree something happened. They put that at the highest level of truthfulness. So, there are at least two important facts that all four Gospels agree on in terms of that first Easter. Maybe the third was, don't give out the Easter eggs to the babies in the middle of the service. No, I'm kidding. That's a later wisdom. The first one is, it was women who first were told the message of Easter. All four Gospels agree. Mary Magdalene and other women, the actual women, change in each of the Gospels. Mary Magdalene is in all four of them. And she and other women go to the tomb and discover it empty and are told Jesus is alive. Go and tell the men. All four Gospels agree. It was women who first preached the good news of Easter. Now, I like to remind you of that every year because I'm always amazed that in 2019, there are still Christians, still denominations that claim women and claim it is biblical that women are not allowed to preach or teach to men. So I simply remind you, all four Gospels contradict that idea. If women were not allowed to preach, we wouldn't be here today. It wouldn't be an Easter Sunday. I do also have to point out, I like the little detail that Luke adds, that the women went and told the men that Jesus was alive, and the men thought they were crazy. Nothing new there. The other, and perhaps maybe more important, but equally important fact that all four Gospels agree on is the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there, but is alive. Now, that doesn't mean we understand exactly what that means and how that happened. I think many of us, even after many, 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 many Easters, may come to Easter Sunday with some questions remaining. Notice that's what Luke says about Peter. Peter doesn't really believe the women, but Peter is at least curious enough that he goes to the tomb, sees it's empty, the stone rolled away, the linen cloths that were wrapped around Jesus' body sitting there. And Luke says, Peter went home wondering what had happened. This is despite the fact that Jesus told them repeatedly, again and again and again, what was going to happen. But Peter goes home wondering. Wondering is not a bad state of mind for Easter Sunday, actually, because there are some questions out there. I mean, what exactly happened between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning? At what point was Jesus actually brought back to life? Did Jesus descend into hell, as the creed tells us? What was he doing for that whole weekend? And how exactly did it happen that someone who was dead is now alive? If you are hoping I'm going to answer any of those questions in the sermon this morning, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to leave you wondering, as Peter was. But I mention all of this, and particularly Peter's wondering, Because then we jump to Acts 10, which is a significant time period later. We don't know quite how much later. But between Easter Sunday and Acts 10, a lot has happened. I mean, we know it's at least 50 days later, because that's when Pentecost happens in the second chapter of Acts. It's also later enough that they have elected a 12th disciple to replace Judas. They have decided they need to elect some other men, we would call them as Presbyterians, deacons, to take care of widows and orphans, among them Stephen. Time enough that Stephen has been brought before the Sanhedrin and stoned to death. Enough time that Saul, who held the cloaks of the people stoning Stephen, has had his conversion on the road to Damascus and become Paul. Enough time has gone by that Peter as well has had some experiences, including a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven with a bunch of unclean animals in it, and God says, "Eat," and Peter says, "Oh no, Lord." And God says, "You shouldn't call unclean what I call clean." And then Peter gets this knock on the door and someone says, "Hey, there's this Roman centurion named Cornelius who's asking you to come to his house." And Peter goes and converts him. All of that has happened between Easter Sunday and Acts 10. And notice what Peter says at this point. He has experienced enough that he's still wondering a bit. Notice he says, "I am still learning," but he has learned a few things. He has learned that God shows no partiality. And he has learned that there are some pretty basic facts about what happened. Did you notice he says that in Acts? In preaching, he says, "You and I know what happened. We know that Jesus was preaching and teaching and healing throughout Galilee. We know what Jesus said to us. We know what Jesus did. We know that Jesus was arrested, yes, even betrayed and denied," he might have said, gulping a bit. "We know that Jesus was put to death on a cross. We know that the tomb is empty and he has risen from the dead, because some of us actually saw Jesus, even ate meals with him. We know all of that." That's what happened. And I can imagine Peter saying, "You know, I'm still wondering about some of the details. I'm still not sure I understand exactly what happened beyond those basic facts. But I do know this. I know that whatever exactly happened between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning, it happened for all people." Again, no partiality. Jesus, whatever exactly happened, Jesus did it for all people. And I know, I can imagine Peter saying, "Whatever exactly happened was done because God loves all people." And I can't imagine Peter saying, as he does near the end of the passage Duke just read for us, "I'm still wondering about some of the details of resurrection and new life, but I'm not wondering anymore what I'm supposed to do and what you are supposed to do. I know that we are called to preach and teach and proclaim the good news of Easter and to live the good news of Easter. I may not know exactly all the details of what happened between Friday and Sunday, but I do know whatever happened changed my life in ways I couldn't have imagined." I suspect many of us come to Easter wondering about some of the details. What exactly happened? And that's not a bad Easter state of mind. Because associated with wonder is awe. Easter Sunday is not a moment for explanation. It's not the time for a deep theological debate about atonement, for example. It's a day to be reminded of what happened and why and how we are to respond. It's a day for not explanation, but proclamation. Not discussion, but rejoicing. There'll be time to discuss the fine points of theology the other 51 Sundays of the year. For today, I invite you to keep in mind Peter, who, even though he went away wondering that day, he knew something had changed in the world, in his life. And he got to a point where he could say, I'm still wondering a bit, but I know what happened. And more importantly, I know what happened to me. Friends, you may be wondering yourself on this Easter Sunday. But there's one thing none of us should wonder about. And that is what God hopes will happen in our lives today. Amen.